everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, really good, Alan. Kicking in the studio, another midweek glass of whiskey served in a plastic cup because I had to walk outside to the studio, and I'm ready to go. How are you doing?
Because you had to walk out? What, you worried about dropping your glass outside?
Yeah, I've got a concrete driveway.
No way. You're a full-grown adult person.
I'm carrying 20 things. I'm carrying a phone, my laptop, my microphone, my headphones. Plastic cup's the safe call. I don't want to do two trips.
Sounds good. Nah, fair enough. Well, I can't really talk about too much about mature adult things because I'm shattered today that I wasn't able to pick up pre-sale Olivia Rodrigo tickets. So we'll see how we go with the general admission.
Okay.
I guess I'm fighting off all the Swifties. I don't know. Just
must be.
Yeah. That's it. But other than that, good day.
Yeah,
always
real good.
Always a good day on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Good stuff.
We should jump right in with the ratings update. Always the most important day of the month. How did you fare to start off with?
Not well. I copped a bit of heat. I thought I was going down. I thought maybe two or three, but I went down by five. Back into the 940 club, 946.
Ooh, that's not ideal.
Not ideal.
I was definitely prepared for a good drop too. My Vic Open wasn't ideal, and I was going to go, get out to that Hopkins Heiser, play great, salvage it, stay above the 920. We'll get to that. Didn't turn out so good, but luckily those rounds didn't actually make it in. So I have only dropped one and I'm still at 920, but I don't know where my next, I don't know if we've got a PDGA event coming up this month, do we?
Not one on my horizon.
So I might be screwed next one, but yeah, stayed at 920. So a big win seeing as I'm not very good.
There you go.
I've got the front page, the first page for the Australia setup though.
You're good.
I'm seeing Dill Feldman still 1,007 and Dave Perry 1,005. The two big boys still above 1,000 rated. What was Dave before?
He
was 1,004.
He went up
so
one.
He's gone up one. So very nice. And then Bainey there in third starts off dropping off pretty good after that. There is it's a pretty decent drop between Dill Feldman, 1,007, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 6 best Austin at 982, 25 points. The difference between Austin and Dylan is it's now apparently the same difference as between you and me.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
4 or 5 shots every 18 holes.
Yeah, you're a lot better than me. It's still, this is that much better than Austin. It's nuts. It drops off real fast.
It does.
What else? Nothing much else has changed, I think. There's only really one name that I don't recognize up in the top. Paul Phillips, up 4 points to 970. Are you familiar with his work?
He's not. Overly familiar in my repertoire. We cover a lot of disc golf. Who's this guy?
Yeah, he's from Queensland. I've just clicked on his thing. So this year he's played the Pine Rivers Open, the Garden City Open in Toowoomba, the Yoronga Memorial, and he went over to New Zealand Champs, and we missed that.
Yeah,
we had a pretty good look at that, and we missed that. I've never heard of this guy, but apparently quite good at disc golf, so definitely want to keep an eye on. He's cashed. He went podium at all those events except for New Zealand Nationals, 29th at New Zealand Nationals, but that was a pretty fat field.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he's coming up with a Masters rank, so does that mean he's 40?
Yep, definitely. As soon as you turn 40, they just hit you with that. No, you don't have to sign up. They just let you know you are now old in the eyes of the PDGA.
Where was his application to represent Team Australia?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah.
Paul Phillips could have been the Smokey.
Yeah.
In the, well, not even, 970 rated. higher rated than Ruben Berg, 964.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, very, very strange. Ruben actually went down a couple. I don't know how that's possible. He's been on a tear lately.
Getting the Ws, but I think he was able to do it with a couple of subpar rounds.
Apparently. And then we've got making an appearance at the very bottom of the first page is Ryan Deer.
The young buck himself. I did notice that.
+1,959. And Ruben gets two spots. Have you noticed that on the front
page?
Yeah,
I have.
Stiff. So I'm going to give a shout out to, I think that's Gavin Cowan. Yeah. Who, another Queensland bloke. He's been playing for a while. And he is the first guy on the second page. So he should be on that first page. So shout out there, Gavin. Stiff that Ruben has somehow taken up two spaces.
Yeah.
I guess if you play MP40 and MPO, because I'm looking, Daz has got two spaces as well.
Yeah.
Very, very weird. But when I was looking on the way to wherever that tournament was, the Hopkins Highs up, Aiden was in the first page, but looks like he's dropped four. So sad times for Aiden.
Aidwin stats. I wonder what he'll put together with his latest spreadsheet to justify the dip.
Yeah, there you go. What about anything else you've noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Any notables for the PDGA update?
Oh, yeah, 100%. We've been banging on about it for a little while. And it has finally happened. Kristen Tatar has hit 1,000 rated.
Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Boom. Big time. Right, first ever right female to do it. So good.
Up by one, right on it. 1,000 rated female disc golfer. First time in the history of the sport. We are living in history right now, Alan. We are living in history.
That's it. What a special time to be alive.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to have a look at the FPO field in general, because it probably looks very reminiscent of this first page of the Australian one, right?
Cool.
You've got sort of one, well, we got two, but yeah, one person above 1,000, and then I think it drops off pretty rapidly to a fairly consistent block of like 960s.
Yeah, exactly. What I will note is... has not played the last couple of weeks. Coincidence? I think not.
Chris, oh, you think she did some quick math?
I think she did some quick math. I reckon she's David Perry'd that. Now I only bring up David Peaches Perry because I know when he first hit 1,000 rated, there was definitely, he was having a leaner disc golf experience. And he benefited from having was it 8 rounds counted or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. That was a bit sus.
Yeah, but not anymore. He's been playing, and his rating's still been going up. So credit where credit's due. But Tatar, geez, a couple of weeks off in the middle of the season. I smell a rat. But anyway, it does drop off. If I do the same maths, go down six spots, you're going to find Henna Blomroos, 975. So very, very similar to what we saw on the Australian page.
Bang. Look at that. Yeah. The Australian Tour. We talked about it before, how the FPO, you got to shoot 1,000 rated plus to win these events now. Well, that's what you got to do on the Australian Tour. So the MPO Australian Tour is basically the FPO Pro Tour. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. And I think you're Jen Allen.
I am.
You're Jen Allen.
Sick.
No, I remember when she came down here for nationals, and I was doing calculations for a little side hobby of mine. Comparing you to Jen Allen made that very handy for me, and I think you both shot the same at nationals. So,
bang on.
Nice. Yeah. Well, not looking forward to the next one because I'm definitely gonna. Definitely going to take a dip, sadly. But, hey, if you listen to Brody Smith, ratings don't matter.
Yeah.
I definitely It's funny hearing him talk about that stuff, because I get where he's coming from, but it is such like a top end issue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the ratings don't matter when you're 1,020 and 1,000 whatever. And yeah, if they end up going and playing some like a random A tier that no one's at, then they're going to shoot 1080 rounds because they're going to smoke the dudes around them. We've said it a million times. It doesn't work at the extremes. But those people forget that that's only like 2% of the people that have PDGA numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the other 98% of us, they're pretty legit. Like, you know, when you look straight down on the Australian thing, it's a pretty reasonable list of who are the best players in Australia. It's just silly. It works out pretty good, and I feel like he shits on it a little too much, but I think he's too far removed from the people, whereas we are of the people. We understand.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Someone, I was actually in a car ride with Kalen, and he was asking, what is the point? Like, why should he sign up to be a PDJ member? And my number one, the first thing I said is because it's like $20. Like, you just do it.
Yep.
So I said, you get the number, which is cool, and it's a bit of a timestamp for, you know, when you started. And then at the very least, it just helps you in the first round tiebreaker, which happens more often than you think. And then I think Ryan or Aiden went on to talk about their displeasure of being bumped to chase card one time after the first round because of their poor PDJ number. But anyway, and then I was just talking about the ratings, and it's just a good way to sort of track your progression and see how you're going, all that sort of stuff. So I don't know. Worth it for me. And then my side note was, I think Narada's the only person that consistently doesn't have one. So I was like, if you do get one, then you'll stop getting lumped in with him. Just to throw a little shade at our boy Nads.
Nice. All right, before we move away from the ratings.
Yes.
It would be very remiss of us to not mention the female side of things in Australia, because there is a big shakeup afoot. We now have a new highest rated Australian disc golfer.
Oh, bang. Who is that?
Well, who would your first guess be?
It would be Sarah Lee.
Nope. That wouldn't be new. That wouldn't be new.
No. Oh, so she was the highest before.
She has been previously.
Oh, so Cassie's back on top.
Cassie has also been previously.
Oh, I am very confused then. Haas. It's got to be Haas.
Haasie.
Bang.
Haasie. All right. Let's be fully transparent. We now have a tie. We have two 895 rated female disc golfers in Australia, in the likes of Hussey and Cassie. Cassie's ratings
maintained. Let's go.
Yeah, huge. Cassie's ratings maintained. So that's really good. Obviously, she's been dealing with some things and some injuries and whatnot, and hasn't played a lot of disc golf, but has played the Vic Open and maintained her rating. So I'm sure she's happy with that. No dip. Has kept 895. Hussey has gone up by 14 rating points.
Haas, let's go.
Yeah, and joined Cass at 895. So the digital round of applause, Haas. I'm sure I'll bump into you out there, and I'll give you kudos in person when I next bump into you in person. But here is the Throllers kudos. Huge work. Well deserved. You've had a stellar couple of months. And maybe 900 is around the corner for another Australian disc golfer.
Yeah, that's so good. Love it, Huss. I was trying to figure out why I couldn't figure that out, but I had it only on pros.
Yep.
So, not any. Yeah, sick. That's really cool to see.
How cool is that?
Love it. All right, we should get to the Bicentennial Social Day then. So, I was not able to make it out to that because I played Hopkins Tigers the day before. This was Mother's Day, so all these people do not care about their mothers.
They did not like my spotlight last week. They probably disagreed with my spotlight in spirit, and they went to disc golf.
Some horrendous scores, just quietly. Like, I don't remember. Was the weather bad? Like,
it was tasty.
Right? That's what I'm
thinking.
The
weather was tasty.
So Bicentennial, it's been a while since I played, but reasonably scorable, yeah?
Yeah, I've only played once, so I barely can remember it, but it is reasonably scorable, yes, like 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've only played that once too, but I feel like there was a birdies aplenty. But yeah, not so much. The only one coming out with a great score is Lachlan McKenzie with neg 7, leads all comers, takes out Div A, just a cool 5 strokes ahead of Peter Chu and Juan. What is going on?
Smashing, yeah. Even, just for context, for anyone that hasn't played Bicentennial, on metrics, even came out at 880.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then.
Yeah.
Because, Div B tops out at 890.
Yep.
So it makes sense that the best scorer, Sebastian Gutierrez, was neg 1. But maybe it's not as scorable as I would have thought.
It's tight lines. Like, it's all short holes. They're all short holes. Not, like, crazy short. But, you know, there's no distance issues at Bicentennial. But you got to hit lines. And some of them are pretty specific from my memory. Like, there's, like, is it a sidearm? Is it a turnover? I'm not sure. That shape's awkward. It's up on a hill. There's some tricky putts. I don't think it's outrageously scorable. I think a few of the Glow boys and Aiden and Daz make a mockery of it, but I think Lachlan's score is decent. That's come out at like nearly 970.
Nice. Well, there you go. Very, very good done there, Lachlan.
Yeah.
And some other notables, a big four-way tie for Div B in second place. Behind Seb, you got Braden Boyack, Zolt, Dimitri, and Jeff Brunsting. So I remember I went and saw him later that day. I made lunch for my mum and brought it around to her house. And
look at you go.
So I was having a chat to my dad, and he was keenly watching the scores roll in because even had him, you know, tie a top of Div B, but Sebastian had to ruin his day. And Damien Mussi, top of Div C with a plus 1. And he's got to be close. I feel like we've been saying his name a bit. He's got to be close to moving up to Div B, right?
Surely.
Jonathan Martin not too far behind. And nothing crazy in the non-members or the no-metrics ratings. But Pat Eldridge popped out, your colleague.
He did.
Fair trek for him, right?
It is. He's popped all the way out from St. Albans. Played casually with him the day before, actually. At Stony, and then the next day he got up and headed out to Bicentennial for the first time, and he was not happy with how he played, but obviously jagged a bunch of pars and got a couple of cheeky birdies, but he just like was scrambling. He reckons he just like would hit a no clean drive, so then was like pitching up and taking the par.
Doesn't sound fun.
No.
We've got Jennifer Finlay, who took out the handicap over the top of Ryan Miranda and Damien Mussi. So, yeah, definitely head in the right direction there for Damien. Down the bottom, though, we've got Nick Tay, Glenn Ralston, and Peter House. I feel like maybe a couple of times now we've heard Peter House's name. So,
well, it's been a while since we've rolled out Chump Stats, and I don't know if Peter listens, but I'm a chance to be on Peter's card this weekend, so I might have a Chump Stat lined up in front of me.
Very nice. You might be on my card too, just quietly.
Ooh.
Yeah. I did have a quick little look and saw you and Jacoby on a card, and I thought, oh, there's room for one more.
And there was room for one more. That means someone dropped out. Hopefully it wasn't Peter.
Yeah, I think it was. I think Tim Stevens was still there. So,
oh, damn it.
So, Tim Stevens, better watch out.
Yeah, I'm coming for you, Tim.
No aces, which is disappointing. I think the old man was saying that it's probably going to be back up to about $500 now.
Bring on Saturday.
Big, yeah. Big on Saturday at Ruffy.
A whole nine Ruffy.
Yeah, aces are plenty.
Yeah.
So keen for that.
Sick.
I got to pick up a disc too. I got a FD1. It's going to revolutionize my bag.
Okay, look out.
No, I don't know, but I think it might be all right for me. All right, so as I mentioned, I did not make it to the social day because I was playing disc golf the day before. Went out to the Hopkins Heiser in Warrnambool, and I was tossing and turning on whether they go out to Warrnambool because it's so far away.
Well, surely, but you capitalized and saw the Southern Lights. That was the Warrnambool was the place to be to see them the best on that Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that.
Nah, well, we were gone by Saturday night.
Yeah, I know.
I missed the whole, before we go into that, I missed all of that.
Well, me too.
Did we know that was coming?
Apparently, people knew and like roads were crazy. But here's what people aren't sharing. What we're seeing on social media is very, very different to what the naked eye was capable of seeing.
I was hearing this.
Yeah.
So this is true?
This is very, very true. Yeah. Very, very true. For anyone,
so you could barely see anything, but then your camera was like, hey, look at this.
Yeah, yeah. If you held your phone up to it, your phone was like, oh, no, actually, this is what it looks like. I had one mate.
See, I don't care then.
Yeah, no, I care less as well. I had one mate that had put some sick photos up, and I was like, and I just like full compliment. He put him in a group chat with us as well. And he was like, he said, to the naked eye, I couldn't see a thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's so weird. Yeah, and I don't care then.
Yeah.
Because I woke up the next day and I was like, how did I not know about this? Like, this looks sick.
Yeah.
And I was genuinely disappointed. I'm like, I could probably see it from my window at my house. Like, this is bullshit. Like, why would no one tell me? And then, yeah, I was like genuinely like annoyed.
Yeah.
And then today, my mate was telling me, he's like, oh, no, apparently you couldn't even see it. I was like, oh. I was like, well, what's the difference between just looking at some guy's photo of it? Then
being the guy that took the photo.
Yeah. If it's just what you can see on a screen, like, nah. Because apparently the deal with the Northern Lights and stuff is that it's so much more beautiful in person that the photos will never do it justice. So it's like, well,
I don't want to flex, but the one time I saw the Northern Lights, I took a photo and then quickly just put my phone away because I saw the photo and was like, if I just try to get photos of this, I'm missing the moment because these photos are shit.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the one photo. I was like, that ain't doing it justice. And so I just put my phone away and enjoyed the moment.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nah, way to do it. All right, back to enjoying this moment.
Yes.
Hopkins Heiser. So
tell us all about it. How? Like, first of all, how was Warrnambool? How was the drive? Did you end up crashing down there? I want the whole spiel.
Yeah, so I was really on the fence. I'd reached out to a couple of people to find out what they were doing, just so I could assess my options and really leave it last minute, to be fair. but made the late call basically on the pod last week on Thursday. and Aiden was growing up with Ryan Deere and on the night before, on the Friday. So Aiden has some friends that live like 40 minutes from Warrnambool that for some reason weren't in their house that night. So they're like, you can come crash with us. Done. So that made it a bit easier. Shorter drive. Sign me up. Fun drive with those boys, actually. And Kalen was in there as well. So that was a cool drive. Only 2.5 hours or something then. Not too bad. I may have had a few lemonades in the back seat. Which made my trip a little bit better. But yeah, not too bad. Quiet night. Watched some Ryan did put on sporting highlights. It was just weird. He's like, we should watch sporting highlights. And I was just, it was so random to me. Like, I've never once done that. And then he put it on and apparently he watches them all the time. Just like cool shit from like multiple different sports around the world. I was like, this is not bad.
That sounds good. That sounds like a cool video. Yeah.
Yeah, so we just watched that and went to bed. That was all right. So, which mean not too bad of an early morning, which is good. And then we get into Warrnambool. I don't know. We didn't do anything there. We just drove to the course and then left. So, don't ask me about Warrnambool. But the course, I enjoyed. I thought it was really fun. So, who was it? Snake. Why can't I ever think of his name now? I should look at it right here. Blake Nichols. I have all the names of the competitors right in front of me, and I just couldn't look down. So Blake Nichols and I think Ben Hicks designed it. So no connection to Warrnambool. But I think Matt Hill just asked who would have time to do this. And they were like, sure. So great on them for going out there and doing all this stuff. So that was sick. They went and marked it out, had stakes in the ground and stuff for the boys to bring baskets and things. And yeah, I thought it was really cool. A ton of par fours, which is good to see. So a lot of pop-up courses and stuff, especially in Melbourne, because we just don't have the space, end up being like bulk par threes. So it was really cool playing a ton of par fours. And it was really scoreable, the par fours at least. Like in terms of distance, most of the par fours would be, like if you think hole, what are we at? 1, 2, 3, 4. So the alternate hole 13 at Stony. That par four, I would say more distance than that, but not a lot.
Okay, yeah.
But they weren't wide open like that. They all had some sort of thing to it. We at least had to throw one type of specific shot, whether it was the entry was guarded, or you know there was a sort of big tree in the fairway you had to go around, but. You wanted to birdie all of the par fours, and there was an eagle chance for the big boys on the par five. So very gettable. And then all of the par threes were quite technical, which was pretty cool. So in different ways too. So some of them were like crazy, like wooded things that I ended up just throwing Tommies over the top because I was cheating. Because I just didn't want to deal with it. And others were longer, but like cool shapes. And so no, I really enjoyed it, but it was definitely a track you want to get a bunch of birdies on.
Okay.
But not very many people did. So I guess everyone was in the same boat, you know, playing the course blind, basically everyone. But I don't know. I was very disappointed with how I played. I can tell you that. Decent set of birdies and stuff in the first round, only one in the second, which is like disgusting. But no, really cool course. I enjoyed it. And there's chances that or some version of that could become permanent. So from what I'm hearing, the university there.
Oh, uni is it?
Pretty keen. Deakin?
Okay, cool.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Yep.
Train station right there, like at the course, like hole one, keypad, train station. So that's pretty cool. And it's only it was 2 hours for the Gambia people. So
yeah, they must have loved that.
Much closer for them. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So yeah, and it was really a nice piece of property. And you could see big scope for more stuff right on the Hopkins River, which is a big, big river. Cool piece. And yeah, you could see some cool big events there if they can get a permanent course.
Yeah, awesome.
So, the tourney, though, we had, FJ15, it was the Nicholson battle, so Ayla versus assistant Miley, and Ayla came out on top there. And MA4, man, I almost tipped this one. Who did you pick for MA4, do you remember?
I tipped Wayne Govan.
Oh, no, you did?
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, 100% I did.
I tipped Carlton Clerk.
Yeah, I know.
For second place. So we were, look at us go.
Yeah, we got MA4 sus. We are the podcast for MA4, as people know. And we just went 1-2. We got the, what's it called in horse racing? Shit.
The Quinella.
Quinella. We got the Quinella.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, cool to see. So well done there, Wayne. And well done, Carlton. And suck shit, everyone else. Looking at you, Dave Wood. That's it. MA3 mass dropouts.
Yes.
I think they had like six dudes, but then
yeah, all of a sudden, where's two. Ryan Miller? He's the only bloke that lives there.
Yeah, I have no idea. Not sure what happened.
Nah, with that, well, all I know is I'm pretty sure, geez, someone will correct me via socials, but I'm pretty sure Ryan Miller is actually a paramedic. I don't know how I know that, but I know that.
Yeah. And now I was thinking he was a nurse, but maybe it's paramedic.
Yeah, I think he's transferred. I think he's a paramedic. And obviously, if you've seen any ambulances around town, they're pretty short staffed, according to the chalk.
Yeah.
So maybe he got called into work.
Yeah, that was kind of my assumption as well, that he either got called in or had a late night or something. He's definitely in that profession where he can get screwed.
Mm.
So Matt Hunter capitalized, crushed it over Peter Fletcher. So
obviously would have been there. Would have been our next tip.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. I got this one wrong, but I think you might have got it right. FA2, Amy Wears, in a landslide over Nicole McPherson and Jessica Holman.
I swear this is who you said would win.
Oh, did I? Well, there you go.
Yeah, you said Amy Wears is coming down. She'll get that.
Okay, cool.
Come on.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought I'd tip Nicole, and then I was like, nah, she never plays anymore, so why would I have done that?
No, you tipped Amy. You tipped Amy.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
And then MA2, this is the exciting one.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
This is the one we love. So, we had, after round one, I think Don Carter was, oh no, so Tommy Jankar, that's it, was in the lead.
Correct.
With Don Carter right behind him. I'm going to have to get the whole scores up because I think it was sad times for Don.
Don had a mare. But there's no way they would have started on hole one though. So
So they started late. I do remember that. Like they were in the teens, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So I think it started pretty bad.
Yeah.
But so that stretch of bogey, par, bogey, triple, bogey.
Yeah.
That was early.
Yeah.
That was early in the piece. and that really just took him out of it, basically. And then, yeah, Brett Zeeble had a very nice final round and moved himself up a bit. But, yeah, it came down to Tommy Jankar and Penn Liu. And I think Penn almost choked on this. Like, I'm trying to remember, but... or maybe Tommy did. Maybe this is where I'm getting it wrong. That Penn, 10, 11, 12... I think was coming in hot towards the end. Like, I feel like they might have started on 13, 14 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, either way, it came down to them. And they went on a playoff at hole two, which was a very technical par three. Very tough birdie to get. I know, because I got it when I threw a peach. But, nah, very tough birdie. I'm looking three people got it in round two: Tommy Jankar, Kalen, and Matthew Wears. Those are good fucking birdies. But anyway, we did the flip. Penn won. He told Tommy to go first. Tommy hit a very early tree, and then Penn put one into like C2. Then Tommy's upshot hit another tree, so he was in C3. Couldn't do much from there. Penn laid up for his first big win.
Sick. Sick, sick. I tip Brett. Obviously, only one stroke back of those two. The three-way playoff would have been cool. But, yeah, just given Penn's form since Golden City Classic, fifth, fourth, third, fifth, 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 I just couldn't see him getting another W. But he proves us wrong, and I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, well, all the messages that came in for... between two chains that involved Penn all had to do with choking, not being good, even though you practice a lot, lots of things on those lines. So
yeah.
You justified it in not the tip. But yeah, I think we both went Tommy Jankar. Oh no, I went Tommy Jankar.
So, and I went Brett. Yeah.
So we were close, but, now well done, Penn, monkey off the back. Watch him win them all now.
Yeah, potentially. And, I had a cheeky opportunity to go past Mountain Disc Golf Course. What night was it? Monday night. And I played a cheeky nine holes. And who was there? practicing, not even playing the course. He's just got it set up where he's practicing his approach shots. He's got it all sorts of islands painted so he can practice all his putting. This man puts in the work.
Sick. I've got to give a negative shout out to Matt Weyers. Come over from Gambia, moved up to MA2. I think he normally plays MA3, and had a pretty good first round. Was in the mix at least, and then 7 strokes worse in the second. Come on, mate.
Oofed.
And Narada, even worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, 9 strokes worse. What is going on there?
No, I'm not going to miss that one. Come on. What are you doing, mate? Right in the mix to dead last. So good job, Narada.
Wowee.
Wowee indeed. MA50, we call this one pretty easy. When Mike Vandalism shows up at a little Melbourne event or Vic event, you know he's probably coming home with the win. So he was pretty unimpressed with his scoring. Second round, definitely below his rating, but yeah, did enough to get the comfortable win over Simon Farrar. And Sean Harrison in second. So well done there, Mike. FA40, Michelle Schultz over Christine Goh. And MA40. This is a cool division now. I'm really enjoying the MA40 boys. It gets me excited. Paul Arden coming out was a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons, but couldn't do enough to defeat the very hot Lee Thompson.
Yeah, let me just read down his PDGA page for a second. I know Lee listens. This is how Lee's 2024 reads. First, second, first, 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 second, first, first, first. Has not finished outside of top two for the entire year. Fucking huge.
That's very, very impressive. Very impressive there, Lee. He's on one.
He is on one.
And like I said, I think the MA40 division is getting pretty cool now. Like, there's some good competition going into it, and he is just taking a stranglehold.
Yeah.
MA1. So we all sucked. Like, round one, we were just getting punished by the MA2 dudes. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I know that my round was, like, okay. Like, I was doing nothing on the par threes. Just wasn't getting any birdie looks. And then I got a few of the par fours that you should be getting. And then it came to, probably the most difficult of the par fours. So you throw in something that, like, at another fairway, pretty much, that's, like, a treed fairway. You need to kind of do it. You basically need to do a turnover or forehand. Anything straight or any stability will end up in the sadness. So I think I ended up in that. Sort of had to pitch out but down the fairway a bit and then threw a decent upshot to maybe like 6 or 7 long. But it was on... So the course was on like a old golf course and very reminiscent of Olinda. So some of the tee pads were old tee pads, but some of the basket locations were old like tee like spots too. Was like an elevated tee box, not by a lot, but the corner of it, the most elevated part, was probably, I don't know, 500-600 mil off the ground, and they put the basket right there, right by the retaining wall corner. So I'd shot long of it and then airballed and then went to like circle's edge, now putting uphill. Sick. So what was a fine, like, clean round, then went double bogey, then I had the par 5 right after, and then just tried way too hard to get it all back and stuffed it, and yeah, I don't know, it all just went downhill from there. So but I was still in it. I was only a couple of strokes back because Matt Hill was shit, Hayden was shit, Cranny was shit, and I don't know what the hell Cam was doing. Like, I don't know what Cam was doing. But we were all trash and we're all in it. So I was stoked, and then in the second round, I somehow played worse. Just like what? Just so no looks. But anyway, Matt Hill remembered that MA1 players shouldn't be shit, and he shot like 4 down second round, and was enough to absolutely murder us. 8 strokes clear of myself and Hayden in second place. But it's like, that's so trash. My event average was like 904 or something.
Not great. Not great. MA1.
That's so bad.
MA1 best round one was 927.
Yeah, it wasn't good, man.
Nah.
We were all just so bad. Like, I can't explain it. Like, yeah, we just sucked. Couldn't hit putts. Couldn't hit lines. Throwing bad. I don't know. And then, yeah, like, Matt, I think Matt Hill went, like, bogey-bogey finish. And I went par-par or something. No, I got that was when I got that hole two birdie. I went par-birdie, and all of a sudden I got 3 strokes back on him to finish. And I was like, okay, cool. But, yeah, now we suck. I don't know. I had a putt for outright win, too. Our final hole was...
Outright second.
Hole one. Outright second, sorry. And actually threw a great drive and then a great upshot. Put it real close. And I just, I don't know. Like, Matt was trying to build, like, pressure. And I... Because Hayden had stuffed his birdie putt, so he had a pretty routine tap, like, par. And I was like, nah, man. Like, this sucks. Like, it really doesn't matter who comes second. Like, this is horrendous, this golf. There is no pressure on this. And then I missed the very easy putt.
Dang it.
I was like, maybe there is pressure. Nah, it was just more reminiscent of me being crap. But anyway, fun course. I'd definitely go out there again. But yeah, well done, Matt. And everyone else, you suck. And Cam, I don't know, bro. I don't know. And in the MPO, like, they had their shit together. They were like, you know, this is like real birdieable, right? Like, that was the word. Like, I was looking around. I was like, oh, everyone's not really handling this course well. Like, I was expecting so good scores in MA2, MA3, like 40s, 50s. And they weren't. And then I looked at MPO and they're like, well, we are. So, yeah, big first round from Blake really set the tone. 1,000 rated it was, but I don't know about that. We just sucked. But still. And then, yeah, nice big battle between him and Rube. So I think Aiden was right there. Yeah, not so much. He was just behind Rube's, but a few back from Blake. And then Aiden just shit the bed in the second round. Even past second round, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, no good. And he had an eagle. He had an eagle on the par 5.
Yes, he did.
Is good. That's a very... It was eagleable, but far. Like, I couldn't get it. You and I couldn't get it.
Yeah. No, I've seen Aiden eagle that hole at bloody Alinda, and I ain't getting it.
Yeah.
So I can imagine
yeah,
it was him...
probably like that.
He
yeah.
can eagle holes that I cannot eagle.
Yeah. But... yeah, Rubes kind of took control late and never looked back. So I think he sealed it with a pretty nice circle two putt on the final hole.
Yeah, I've seen footage of that. And obviously this is the one we tipped. And yeah, good. First MPO victory for Rubenberg.
Mm-hmm. And his first 1,000 rated round.
Big.
Which is hard to believe.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But yeah, first 1,000 rated round for him. So very well done there, Rubes. Just going from strength to strength.
It's interesting, like, or everyone playing the course blind, it's interesting that round two rated higher than round one.
Yeah, well, it was windier.
Okay, yeah.
It was windier, but not, yeah, I don't know. I expected to do so much better in my second round, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm worse. Like, I don't know what to say, man. Like, yeah, it was you sort of had to be there to really understand what was going on, I guess. But it was, yeah, everyone should have shot a lot better.
Yeah,
but yeah, it definitely was windier in the Arvo, so that might explain it. We had Nate Parrish with a much better second round, so he was with Cam. He got relegated. Him and Cam got put with the two MA3 boys just because they had a card of two. But coincidentally, both the MA3 boys shot exactly the same as what Nathan Cam shot. So it worked out really poetic. And Nath goes, you know what, I'm better than that. And shot a very nice second round. And then Cam didn't, but... So well done there to Nath for pulling it back. And big round for Ryan Deer too.
Yeah.
So I think he went 5-7 or something like that. 5 down, 7 down. For a very solid event. No wonder he is on the first page.
And like you said, Hopkins didn't include it. That was a 974 event for Ryan. So he could pull a Kristen Tatar, not play this month, and climb even higher.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds very good. So we had a bit of between two chains action.
Oh, please.
It wasn't as much as I thought. I had a few more things lined up, but sort of time and stuff didn't quite work out. Like I had some good stuff for Matty Hill, and I'd played with him, so he knew it was coming, and he was more than happy to oblige. But yeah, it didn't really get the time for that with his TD duties and a couple other things. We had some stuff lined up for Penn about him being shit, but then he won, so that didn't kind of work out. But so only a short episode of Between Two Chains now, but yeah, we'll see how this one goes.
Bring it on.
Joined here with Nath Parrish. How you doing, Nath? Fuck. I actually have nothing for you. Nah, I'm just kidding. We got questions this time, mate. No, don't run away. So NPO players often give tips to the lower level players. Are you getting any from your card mates?
I'd probably take some tips from the MA3 boys, to be honest. That's the way I'm playing today.
Fair enough. So the burning question that we keep getting asked by everyone is why NPO instead of MA2?
Because I'm better than you.
Fair enough. All right, thanks for your time, Nate. Joined here with Terry Bohan. How you doing, Terry?
Good.
Lovely. So you're best known for sending in funny jabs to the tee off. Is it worth it for you to actually have to listen to the tee off?
Well, when I go away on golf trips, I have to listen to something. So the tee off and the
throwers.
Yeah. But I hate the intro.
Burn. Oh, really? Well, maybe we'll have to get you to do your best thrower impression. You can replace Ash as our intro. How is Tim not here? This is a PDGA event. What's going on?
He's in Cairns.
Oh, okay, fair enough. All right, no worries. Thanks for your time. Here with Ryan Hart. Ryan Hart. Oh, let's start again.
Thanks, mate.
I'm here with Ryan Deer. Ryan, I drove up with you this weekend. I learned from you that you're one of the best disc golfers in Australia. How come you're only 4th out of 5 players today?
What can I say, Al? Just not my day today, mate. I'm going to maybe have to revise that statement, but I stick by it. On the car trips on the way there, I feel like I'm the best, and then I start playing and it doesn't exactly happen, so we'll see what happens.
That's fair good. Enough. Well, if you do win today, do you think the purse will cover the cost of the windshield you just broke trying to throw like Blake Houston?
Maybe it might. It's a little bit of a dint, but I've spoken with the guy. It's all good. I think he'll cover it for me, so I'm not too bad there. But if it was more damage, it definitely would not have covered it.
No worries. Thanks for your time, mate. So at lunch, Ryan had just got his bag and went down to one end of the oval that's right there. And then just started like throwing 360 after 360 after 360. So on the car ride up, we got talking about distance. I think he was wishing that he could have gone to the distance comp at the Vic Open. Like he was sad that he didn't have one. And we were just like, why would it matter? Like you can't throw like Blake can. And he's like, well, and I was like, no, you fucking can't. Like there's levels to this and you're not on his level. Anyway, I think he might have taken that personally. So he was just throwing like 360 after 360 after 360. And then one of them went wayward and just creamed a car. Absolutely creamed a car, just like parked. So it must have been one of the people from disc golf. Anyway, I immediately grabbed the mic and run right over to him.
Good stuff.
I was like, I got to get him in that one.
good.
Nice. All right. So I was listening to Tour Life today, just before on the drive home, and something interesting they said, I was wanting to get your thoughts on. So someone had posed the question, should touring pros be able to play lower events? And I think it was really brought up because like Owen Scoggins won the Santa Cruz Masters Cup or something.
Yep.
But I swear that's been a big event in the past. Like that, I feel like that's fine.
Masters Cup's anyway, been huge, yeah.
Yeah, so like I didn't really understand that to start off with. But I know like Yul Barry cops a lot of shit for showing up to A-tiers and things like that. And yeah, so they were talking about it. And I think Yul has got it pretty good. Like obviously he's a big fan of showing up to wherever and dominating. But he seems to think that it'd be a good idea if you've got a tour card, then you shouldn't be able to play, what are they called, Silver Series events. So, like, that's, I guess, that's meant to be, like, the next level down tour or something like that. And I can sort of get that, and I'd be fine if they did that. But I feel like they should be able to play whatever the fuck they want. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely a few layers to it. This weekend was a good weekend for it because you had the Pro Tour kind of go to Copenhagen and hardly any, obviously, Americans went out for that trip. And then simultaneously, you had the De La Viega Masters Cup, which is like one of my favorite events of the years. I love De La Viega.
That course is cool as shit.
Yeah, it's a sick track. And then also you had Vegas. And Vegas has been a Pro Tour event for a long time. And a lot of the touring pros played Vegas this year. Not many went to California for Santa Cruz. So Ezra took it out in the MPO, Ezra Robinson. And Josh Anthon took out fourth. Have not said that name in a long
sick.
Time. Yeah, but he's...
that's cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. But he's obviously a California De La guy through and through. Look, only two people took cash in FPO. Because of how small the field was. And yeah, Owen takes home $724. And the person in second takes home $400. No one else gets cash. So there is that layer to it. But my take is this, pretty simple. If on the Pro Tour, for victories and through sponsorship deals and through every other financial incentive that they made bank, then sure, we could entertain the idea that they shouldn't play lower events, particularly that second tier tour that you're alluding to. I don't know if it is Silver Series or if it's got its own special name where people are trying to earn tour cards. Yeah, I'm all for them restricting them if they make a significant livelihood through just the Pro Tour. And the reality is we're far from that. So until we get to the point where they can make a decent living off just the Pro Tour alone, I just think it's a redundant question. You have to allow them to go grind. Like, you can't stop poker players from grinding. Like, you got to allow them to grind and make a living. Like, this is what they do for a job. Let them play every weekend. Let them make bank.
Yeah, if Phil Ivey just shows up to the ground and just wants to play on the 50 buck table or something like that, like, you know, like, get the fuck out of here, guy. You're like, holy shit, this is sick.
Yeah.
And my thought on it too is, unless you are the top of the game, then there's always someone that can just come beat you. Like,
yeah,
you may think you're a big fish in your little pond, but like, it's the same with the division stuff. Like, people get pretty salty about sandbagging and da 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 da. But unless you're playing mixed pro open, then there's always a chance that there's someone that's just much better than you that can come and beat you. So I got no problem with it at all. They want to come out like, yeah.
Well, did you
like
see
I said, the only exception? Yeah.
Did you see who took out Vegas?
Yeah, I did. I actually watched the final round.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. Connor Rock.
And how's the next three? Like, how's the top four names? Like, he's taken down the three. Are they not the three best disc golfers in the world currently? Or two of like.
Whoa. Like, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about Emerson Keith, but
no, I'm talking about Isaac Robinson, Calvin.
Oh, did Isaac sneak into fourth?
Yeah, okay. Isaac snuck into fourth. Isaac Robinson, Calvin Heinberg, and Gavin Burr. right? So obviously you don't have Anthony Barella there. You don't have Simon Lizotte. But Isaac Robertson, Calvin Heimer, Gannon Burr.
Yeah.
Big dogs. Big dogs.
Nah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I was watching it. I was just, you just assume that he does. And Gannon had the lead. Had the lead going into the final round.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Calvin was behind him. And Connor might have even been behind that. If not, he was tied with Calvin. And I was just like, well, sick of you, but like, it's these two, one of these two is going to win it. And he just was a big dog. Like, I think he missed the first one and then got the next five or something. Like, yeah, it's just mint.
With an eagle and, on bloody GG's hole.
Yeah, he got like 7 down through 7 or 8 down through 8.
Yeah.
It was fucked. I was like, holy shit. He was good. And it just held his nerve all the way through. And then Calvin and Gannon just kept throwing out of bounds. So that was really cool. Don't see that very often. And you couldn't imagine anyone worse to be on your card to try to beat. Like, those are 1 and 2, I reckon, of, maybe AB would be the top 3 best disc golfers in the world right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So a pretty sick feather in the cap there to Connor Rock. So we cover that. Yes, you can play whatever the fuck you want.
Don't listen to Brody.
That's the moral of most stories, I think.
Yeah.
All right, should we finish it off with some spotlight, not light?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so you got anything for us?
Yeah, I got a bunch of spotlights. Sick. I hope I'm not stealing any of yours because I got a list. I got a list of my own.
Only got one, and it's not even disc golf related.
Oh, wicked.
So rattle them all off.
All right, I'll start with my non-disc golf related one. I shared it via Instagram. If you missed it, it's now gone, but go to abcnews.com. Fucking, we can't say anyone's name, but we are not working paid professionals. And the phonetic spelling at Thomas Jefferson University just absolutely made my day yesterday. What, like that? Aaron is one of my favorite skets ever from, is it Key and Peele or whoever they are?
Yeah.
Love that sketch. I have a Balake in my class at work, and I refuse to call him anything other than Balake because I just love that sketch so much. And I just couldn't believe it. So that's honorable mention. Another honorable mention goes to Pat Eldridge, who you alluded to earlier. He took the only birdie on hole 10 at Bicentennial. Aiden's, was that the one that Aiden aced? Aiden's ace hole. He was the only birdie. So Pat Eldridge, honorable mention. Another honorable mention is casual disc golfers. Went and played Stoney on Saturday. A few of the holes are out of action because of some plumbing they're doing. But there was just so many casual disc golfers there that I've never met in my life. And just, you guys are legends. I love that there's just more people playing this game all the time. But I'm glad to hear that you don't have this down as a spotlight. And I thought I might be the only one to have taken this note. But my actual spotlight has to go to the bridesmaid himself, Mr. Oscar Fellberg. He just went...
Oh, idiot.
Yeah, he just went minus 15 at Ruffy on the weekend, playing casually with a couple of mates, final putt caught on camera, playing with a janky bag from all reports, but that is equal course record. I know it's not PDJ, I know it's not metrics, but there were witnesses, minus 15 at Ruffy, good shit, bridesmaid.
With a bogey.
Yeah, with a bogey, yeah.
With a bogey. He got fucking 16 birdies, one bogey and one par. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling everyone. I was telling everyone at Hopkins about that. How did I not write that down? I'm glad you said that. Sick, sick spotlight. It's one of the best spotlights of the year. It's so good. I was so impressed with that.
That's very good.
Mine is non-disc golf related. It goes to, shit, I can't think of his first name now. Guelphy from Essendon.
Oh, what? Are you up and about or what? Surely you're up and about. Are Essendon like top 4 end of year?
We're third.
Yeah, look out.
We're third with one team in the top 8 we've beaten. So I'm up and about with a lid on. Like I don't know how to describe it. Like,
sure.
I was telling people were asking me before the game on the weekend, like, how do you think the Bombers will go? And I said, I don't know. I said, we've been playing great. we can win. I said, but this is right in that time of the year where we win this game and then lose to North Melbourne and Richmond in consecutive weeks. So we've done part A, and historically, like, where this is when the Essendon fans are at peak Nuffy, and then bang, we lose to the two of the worst teams in the league back to back. So if we do that, if we simply beat the two shittest teams in the league, then the lid probably comes off.
That's sick.
Because we'll be pretty far in the year to drop out of finals at least. But yeah, it is worrying that we got the one draw against the top eight team, one win against the top eight team, and all the rest bottom eight team wins. And we lost to Port and Sydney, who were both in the top eight. But anyway.
Tell us about Guelphy.
It goes to Guelphy. I don't know why I can't leave his first name. That's really bad. But anyway, he kicked a few goals on the weekend. And every time he did, he was flashing his pink nails, or his red nails. Did you see that?
I did. I don't know where this is going yet.
Went to the camera, flashing the nails. And yeah, I didn't know where it was going to. I just thought he was a guy I liked to paint his nails. And it was like, cool. But turns out he went and saw a sick little girl in a hospital before the game. Sometime like when the day of the game, day before the game, something like that. And so she wasn't allowed to paint her nails. So she always liked to paint everyone else's nails. So she was painting her mum's nails at the time. And then Guelph was like, oh, sweet, paint mine. What do you want? And she's like, can I do them all red? She's like, yep, done. And he goes, after it's done, he goes, oh, I'll have to try to play really well now so I can get your nice nails on camera. I go, if I kick a goal, I'll flash nails on camera. Bang, ends up kicking three, flashes them every time. Good job, Guelph. That's the shit we love to see.
Oh, that is so good. That is so special. Good stuff.
What about Not Lights? Let's go the other way.
Yeah, don't have any honourable mentions, but there were multiple league days on the weekend, and we drove one by. But if we looked up at metrics for Mother's Day, you will also find Ballarat Disc Sports 2024 Autumn League May Victoria Park on the advanced layout. How many attendees do you anticipate at said league day?
Oh, I mean, they get seven on a good day. So two?
Oh, you've nailed that. You've nailed it. Two.
Really?
Yeah. So obviously Marlon and Stuart, you were not my recipients of the Not Light. You were the two guys there. But come on, Ballarat Disc Golf. Where are you? Where are you? Two people to a league day? Come on.
What's going on? They got two of the best courses in Victoria.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We had like 50 people show up to Bicentennial.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Nah, good shout there. Mine in general goes to, and I've already shouted like shit on all these people, but it needs to be reaffirmed. In general goes to the MA1 field at Hopkins Heiser, minus Matt Hill in the end. We were just bad, and it really needs to be said that we were bad and we needed to be better. That's not very MA1 of us. But the actual full-on Not Light has to go to Camille. Camille Abrutansky, all-time high rating now. He's just cracked 909. He's gone up 6 points, and he's very, very lucky that the Hopkins Heiser wasn't in because it was so trash. Like I felt terrible. I played so bad. Hayden hated how he played. Cranny hated how he played. And if you added up mine and Hayden and Cranny's score, that's what Cam got. like I don't know another way to put it. That was one of the most poor MA1 performances I've seen in a very, very long time. So he's been playing great disc golf lately, up and about, moving on up, and now this, like, I couldn't let it go by. So Cam, no good.
Yeah, that fitting. Fitting. Well done.
Beautiful. All right, well, let's call it a day. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.